B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Out at center ice, it's controlled by the Bruins and wristed in. The Boston Bruins are going to take the upper hand in this series. Thanks to a 3-1 victory in Game 3, the Bruins lead the series 2-1. Sean Corrali gets the shorthanded game winner. Brad Marchand ices it with an empty netter. And Yaroslav Halak picks up the victory.
And Game 4 comes your way tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. They drop the puck at 8, pregame at 7:30 if you're watching on TV. We'll have the post game on NBC Sports Boston as usual, hosted by yours truly. It's a reentry Monday brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. We go to your phones here as promised. Bibb is in Dorchester. He is going to lead us off this hour. Go ahead, Bibb.
Hey, guys. So what's really going on here at Rask? Because Tuukka just had 4 months with his family. Is he scared to fail again?
So
and
I don't
like
think
Murray
that...
said, why even come back, right?
Yeah,
why
so
why
I
even
mean,
come back?
Well, okay, I mean, and that's a fair second guess, that this was a existing situation, his heart wasn't in it from the start, and so they all just should have looked at it and said, it ain't going to work for you, stay home. And or Rash should have taken the initiative and said, I can't give it my all, and so I shouldn't even go.
And I think it's more acceptable for people, too. I mean, it is to me if you opt out before your season starts. Again, I never even bashed David Price for it because I get it. But, like, once you go... you're there, man. It's like a submarine. Once you're on it, you don't get off.
I mean, the timing of it's hard to take, right? It is because you're like, well, what, you're only 2 games in. Like, I even had to remind myself, say, you're 2 games in. What possible decision could you make with 2 games in? And I dismissed the round robin part of it, right? So I'm like, well, then again, they've been up there a little bit longer than I think they have. So I don't know. There's got to be something going on in his house. There's got to be something going on. I'm sorry. Like, and it was existing before. I'm not telling you it was a major incident, but it was existing before, and then it got worse or something. And I have a hard time believing a guy would commit and do that to his teammates.
So, but I don't think he bailed because he's afraid to fail.
No.
He might be. I mean, a lot of players are. I am. Well, we are. Like, people are. Like, that's just the way, that's the way of the world. You know, I don't think he left because he's afraid to fail. I think he left, as DuPont wrote, that what we know with absolute certainty is that Rask now twice has proven he is unable to balance being both family man and franchise goalie. And I think that's that. You know, that's it. He can't find the balance. He can't, you know, commit fully to work without sacrificing at home or vice versa. And he's at this point, can't find that balance, which sucks. Cat in Boston. Go ahead, Cat.
Hey, I was wondering how guys like Marchand Bergeron can like, stay so supportive of his opting out when, like, they're looking at a guy that obviously has it, but he doesn't have the commitment. Thanks, guys.
I just think they've always liked Rask. They continue to like Rask. They continue to support Rask. That's never been an issue. I don't think that's – and, I talked about it a bunch on Friday, you know, those hellacious comments on Thursday after that playoff game. A lot of people said, he's going to lose the support of his teammates. His teammates are going to look at him and say, we can't go to war with you, and, you know, why are you undermining us? And I rejected that then. I reject it now. They like him. They support him. And, you know, we can look at it from this perspective and say, why? You know, why would you? But it's the fact. They do. I've never sensed anything between Rask and his teammates.
No, and the other thing is they know more than we do, right? They know more than we do. So they're probably privy to some information and details that we don't have that would allow them to be supportive. I mean, I don't think this is like, you know, this isn't a case where a guy is screwing off doing stupid stuff. And then you look at him and, some Manny Ramirez where you go, this guy's a complete jackass. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel that way anyway. But maybe it is, and he's just hiding it.
Like perhaps David Pastrnak?
Well, right. Like that to one is to me is the one you get more agitated by. And so look, Mike, they're up 2-1, okay? But do you realize they have one even strength goal since Pastrnak left the lineup, and it was the empty netter by Marchand. Mm-hmm. That's it. So like his importance to the offense is clear. I think we all know that. But there's a guy who couldn't get his ass here on time for the start of camp. Then when he did show up, exposed himself potentially to someone who had the virus, had to quarantine again, couldn't be at camp for the time that he was required to be at camp or expected to be in camp, and then suffers an injury. And I'm supposed to think that's coincidence? Like, I look at it and say, I'm sorry, but when you don't train properly, you get hurt. That's what happens.
Jeff's in Framingham. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys, I want to tell you, 100% right. You know, send him home if he doesn't want to be a teammate. He's been an unreliable prima donna his whole career. And, you know, now if the Bruins can just get rid of Jack Edwards as a commentator, life would be great.
Okay, I don't put him in the same conversation. Jack's all right. Jack's just fine. to me, what you know, and the caller sort of mentioned it, Rask's history also works against him. You know, he bailed out of that semifinal in the 2014 Olympics. I don't think people fully appreciate that's Finland-Sweden. That's like Red Sox-Yankees,
right.
Packers-Bears, you know, on steroids. Like, that's it. That's it for that country. That's where Tuukka's from. That game is everything.
He's got a knack for terrible timing, like I said
earlier. He bails on the 14 Olympics. He bailed in the finale in 2016 with a chance to clinch the playoffs, and he bailed with a stomach thing on that. He bails now, this week. He took that leave of absence last year. So there's the history does work against him. And, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than that. I mean, he has a reputation, and I don't think it's unfairly earned. I mean, he has these things have happened.
No, the facts are the facts. I mean, they are the facts. There's no question. Like, that Olympic thing, I remember at the time going, oh, my God.
You got to be kidding me.
Wow. And then, you know, the 4 days he missed with the Bruins or whatever it was, at 2018, I think it was. Like, that wasn't a small thing either. It was sort of like, well, what the hell is that all about? So, you know, again, maybe there's more going on with him than meets the eye. But this one is weird, though. This one is like, talk about the cherry on top. Because you commit to go. You commit to go. They all commit to go. Then you get a couple of games in when it finally starts, and I'm going to go home. I mean, it is. It's perplexing. It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's all of those things. And he might have a perfectly good reason.
Tom and Newton, go ahead. You're up next.
Yeah, hey, guys. This Tuukka Rask situation, I mean, I just don't believe what I'm hearing. I mean, do you really think that Neely or Sweeney, you know, in the middle of the playoffs is going to, you know, come out and say, actually, we're pissed at him and we can't believe he did this? I mean, of course they're going to say what they're saying. And, you know, I know family and privacy and everything like that. But for a guy with the history he has, you know, question marks in the playoffs, you know, his comments last week, to just leave his team in the lurch like that, unless there's something, you know, serious we don't know about, I'm sorry. This is one of the most, you know, notorious incidents, you know, in memory to do that.
It's a big one. It's a big one. That news on Saturday was a whopper. We don't get many whoppers nowadays, but that was definitely one of them.
And to what the caller's saying, that's why I do think that there is something purposeful for the way that the team is coming out and saying, hey, you know, everything's fine with his family now. And good, I hope that that's the case. And you know, but don't you think that there's also, like, that's a little bit coded? Because I do. Like,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Nothing was wrong really in the first place, or it was a little bit of a scare. He could have stayed, but now he's gone now. He's made his decision. Family's fine, and we're moving on.
Yeah, they, you know, Sweeney made a point of saying it wasn't serious and everyone's healthy and fine.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in this discussion doesn't necessarily help Rask. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, if Sweeney had come on and said it, you know, a pretty serious situation and, you know, that I think gives Rask some cover.
So sure.
They've given him definitely support. I don't know if they've given him full cover. I think that's a fair point, Jim. Mike and Woburn, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, it, on the surface, doesn't look good. I'm reserving my judgment until we find out all the details as to the how and why. But, I mean, people saying, like, oh, he's afraid to fail. Was he afraid to fail? I mean, if I'm picking my spots as to when not to show up, I think in 2015 when Chara and Kevin Miller were my top two defenders in front of me is the time I would have, you know, checked out and gone to the Tim Thomas Memorial Bunker and skipped those games, you know, not with a cup on the line. There's something else going on here, but the lack of appreciation, like everybody, I want everybody to call in who wanted Martin Jones instead of Tim Thomas. You know where Martin Jones is with a sub 900 save percentage, costing the Sharks like $6 million against the cap. Tuukka Rask has been remarkably consistent and steady, if unreliable at times. And the guy replacing him right now, people forget, Halak is a guy that once begged out of a game against his former team because he couldn't emotionally handle the strain of playing against his former teammates. Goalies are a complete enigma. and you've had one of those steadier ones for the past decade. If you look around the playoffs right now, Mike, I'm shocked at how many playoff teams have actual like timeshares in terms of who the goalie is going to be. And yeah. And how many teams are succeeding with guys that used to be backups because they cast off guys that were franchise foundations? Look at, did anybody ever think Jonas Korpisalo was going to give Tampa the fits that he is now? It's okay, a complete.
But this goes back to our whole argument about the value of paying a goalie that kind of money when you can sort of piece it together with fringe, I don't want to say fringe league guys, but you need your goalie playing well. I mean, that's obvious. You can't win a cup without good goaltending, but do you have to spend through the nose on the single guy? Because a lot of the single guys haven't won. Rask hasn't won. Carey Price hasn't won. Lundqvist hasn't won. Pekka Rene hasn't won. Bobrovsky hasn't won. The guys who have won are, Matt Murray, Jordan Binnington, Holtby, who is a stud, but what wasn't a stud when he first came up. He was a fill-in. There are some studs who have won. Quick won, and there are guys that have won. But Corey Crawford, I don't think is any stud. He was just on a great team. So this opens up the whole argument of can you get away with good goalies that get hot and you ride versus paying all that money for one guy? I mean, we've talked about that for years.
Oh, I don't think there's any question you can. I mean, look at the flavor of the month right now, Carter Hart with Philadelphia. The guy's a second-round pick, 42nd overall.
That's kind of high for a goalie, actually.
Okay, but you're not talking about a guy who was taken, in the top 10 of the draft, the top 5 of the draft. Didn't the Bruins take Malcolm Subban in the first round?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's one of the, you look at that and say, okay, he's a second-round pick. It's not, it's not like you're taking him up in the top 10. And now he's like the talk of the league with the way he's playing. Philly's been looking for a goalie since I was in diapers, for crying out loud.
It's it's sort of like the closer in baseball. You got to have one. It's super important. But can you sort of find the guy from the pack? Or if everything's in place around him, can you get something out of him? I mean, how come I forgot the name? The Japanese closer when you won the World Series?
Oh, Koji Uehara.
Koji Uehara. Wasn't he like the fourth option?
Yeah.
When they started that year?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, there he is. And it's sort of like, what the hell was Jordan Binnington has gotten benched again. Jordan Binnington just got benched. He was a fill-in guy out of nowhere last year. Now he's back to the bench. And it's like, well, what are you spending $8 million a year on a goalie in the first place? So, that's a bigger conversation. We continue with your thoughts after these words here on Felger and Mazz.
Felger and Mazz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mazz. Number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krug has got it in front of his net, and he'll now race ahead. Clean sheet of ice. Over the line, right side, Krejci throws it left to the net. And Marchand a shot. Coyle, rebound, he scores! Charlie Coyle picked a puck out of midair and batted it inside the far post. Up! One, Hurricanes nothing.
How about that goal, Mass?
Tremendous. So when
you mentioned depth on the team, I'm not sure their depth, overall in some spots. Like, I think on the wing, their depth is questionable. At center, when their guys are going the way they're going, the way Krejci's playing right now is... like
sublime.
He's been the best player in the series.
He is. He's been dynamite. I love Krejci's game right now.
When he plays like this, isn't he just fun to watch?
He is. He's great to watch. He's so poised with the puck. And look, if DeBrus could freaking score, and Krejci'd have about 5 more assists at this stage, for crying out loud.
I mean,
yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, that Coyle goal started with that cross corner dump. I mean, what? A brilliant vision, like just incredible. And I'll tell you what, his assist on the empty net goal wasn't anything to sneeze at either.
Nifty little pass.
Oh my God. So he is, when Krejci goes like this, he is just fun to watch. He is brilliant. And I'm sorry, I've been telling you about this guy for a while. I think Charlie Coyle's a beast.
Yeah,
I think the guy's just a freaking beast. And if you go 1-2-3 at center like that, Bergeron, Krejci, Coyle, now that Maz is depth.
Yeah, no question. And look again, when I say depth, you know, there was a time where they were putting players on the ice, and I went, that guy doesn't belong in the league. He doesn't belong in the league. So now I look at a guy like Kasha, and I say, you know, look, he's not finishing, and neither is DeBrus for that matter. Like, but they belong in the league. Kasha's a pain in the ass. He competes for pucks, man. He back checks. Like, and I think the two wingers on the fourth line have been out of this world in this series. So I'm now talking about Wagner and Nordstrom.
Nordstrom's been a stud.
Yeah, and they're not scoring either, but I've noticed them when they're out there. They're relentless.
Walking pucks. I think he had 5 in that first game. So, yeah, I mean, all those guys have been great. I do, and Maz was just saying this as we were coming back from break. Mike, how do you like Anders Bjork on that top line?
So no.
Yeah
so that one bothers me.
So that's depth that I say, they have a kid that they can put up on the first line, but I don't know if he belongs to. I don't know if he's any good.
No, that's fair. I guess what I'm saying is this, Mike. At the moment, it doesn't bother me to see any of their lines on the ice.
But I do like Sanika. So like I think Sanika, and I know you mentioned that before, Maz. I mean, they consider him undersized at 171. He's like 170 because he's young. But he's got a big frame. Like, yeah. I think when he fills out, I think they might have something there. I like that kid.
I know there's all kinds of different permutations that they're doing because Bjork, I think, played like 7 minutes on Saturday. But, I mean, look, they're getting screwed because of Pastrnak. I just don't like him on that line. I wish they'd switch him out with Stadnika on that line.
I mean, he had a really bad game. He doesn't belong with that group either. There's no question. Stadnika's been good, or was good. It's a much better fit than Richie. In this series, I'd rather see him out there. But every time there's a group out there now, I look at them and go, I'm okay with the way this group's playing. You know, again, I'd like to see more out of DeBrusk and Kasha, but Krejci's been absolutely freaking dynamite in this series. Great.
Unbelievable. Like, I want to say out of nowhere, because, people like to say that he does this in the playoffs. He didn't do this in the playoffs the last couple of years. In the last couple of years in the playoffs, he was just sort of there. This is old school playoff David Krejci, and it's just, not just effective, but just he's fun to watch.
Oh, great. And so maybe it's the layoff. Maybe, who knows what the hell it is with him. I mean, maybe it's the matchup and they have favorable matchups. Like, but he does. He looks like a different guy.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Here's David in New Bedford. Go, David. Hello, David. So his comment line is are they up, Jimmy? Are the calls up?
Hello?
Hi, David. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, my concern is on Pastrnak. For the third straight game, he's not going to be playing tonight. And I think that's not a good look on Pastrnak. He needs to be out there on the top line.
Okay. I don't think David. Maz has him ahead of Tuukka Rask on the hit list. I don't put him ahead of Rask. I mean, at least Pastrnak is there and should contribute. So, but, however, this is another guy that you ask, does he get it? Does he get it? Does he want it? And the things I hear about Pastrnak, Maz, is that he does want it. He does have this sort of work ethic. He does have this desire to be great. But maybe he just doesn't have the discipline or the maturity to do what it takes to be that. Because too many cases now. He porked him last year. He porked him last year big time. And this year is maybe not as bad. Maybe it's actually worse. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you look at it. Last year, he hurt his hand screwing around after a client event, on the streets of Boston. This year, he just got sloppy or lazy, came back late, put himself in a spot where he had to be quarantined, and so he's behind everybody. And now he's got like a little knick-knack injury. So I think both are atrocious. And if you want to be great and you want to win championships, does he realize you can't carry on like that? Does he get it?
So that's the part I worry about. Like, I just think you got to get... Now, look, he's 23, okay? So you want to say he's immature. Well, what do you expect? He's 23. I would also say, well, too bad. Too bad. What are you making, $6.5 million a year or whatever the number is? Like, and in this case, you have older guys who have a cup at stake. You have a responsibility to the other guys on the team. So I sort of wrap it all up into one package with Pastrnak. He was late coming back. And then when he got here, and again, Cam Neely pointed this out. Okay, so the president of the team wasn't thrilled about it. He was late coming back. He dragged Kasha with him, for crying out loud, basically. And I'm sorry, I'd put that on Pastrnak. And then when he comes back, he exposes himself to someone who's potentially sick. Now he's going to sit out again. Well, it doesn't matter if you care if you don't do the necessary things to actually play. Like, that's no good. It doesn't work.
So I put him in the same boat. A little bit of a different circumstance, but same issue. Michael and Methuen. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, hi. I'm kind of glad you mentioned Studnicka because I thought he was good. I liked him in the Philly game earlier in this round robin. But regarding Rask, I go back to the comments he made about, remember at the beginning of COVID, he made that comment about, I'll just retire, about the retirement comment?
Yes.
And I was just wondering, I mean, and this sort of segues from the last call you had before the break about how you find goalies and, you know, you have something in your farm system and things like that. Well, how would the Bruins set in their farm system? I mean, if Rask does say, like, some of the things you have to take seriously, he may decide to retire. That frees up a lot of money in the offseason, possibly to sign Krug, and you have a goalie ready to go in your farm system. What do you think of that?
Okay, so I don't know. I mean, this Dan Vladar, who's up now and is their backup, has been in Providence, I think, 5 years. Do I have that right? Has he been here 5 years?
He's been there for a while. I know that.
So I know, you know, guys need seasoning and, you know, some maturity, but wow, if you're like a can't-miss surefires, are you in the AHL for 5 years, even playing behind Tuukka Rask? I don't know. The fact that they brought back Halak, I think, tells you something, that they don't think those kids are ready. You know, Rask is not a workhorse goalie. He needs time off during the year. You know, this has been well-established. They want to keep him in the 50s in terms of starts, so they need a viable backup. And they haven't gone to one of their kids here. And, you know, they've had the last couple of years, they brought in Halak in the first place because their kids aren't ready. So I have no idea what's in the pipeline or how good the Swayman is or how good Vladar is. I don't know. Well,
they love that Swayman up in Maine. But remember I told you this a while back, Mike. He's been quarantined in Alaska.
Oh, well, that's not going to help him.
Yeah.
Why is he quarantined in Alaska?
I think he's from Anchorage or something like that. But I remember reading this a while back because everyone's like, Swayman's the one to watch. Swayman, he's going to be coming up through the pipeline. But since COVID happened, he went to Alaska and is still in Alaska and is staying in Alaska until further notice.
Well, that's not going to help him. So, look, I mean, the question is, can you find that guy for the right price? Most guys at a low price suck, so they have a low price for a reason. Can you? And Halak was a great signing. So, can you find that guy? Is there that sweet spot where you're not overpaying for goalie, but he's still capable of going on a run if surrounded by the right team you can win a cup with? I mean, that's sort of a tough spot. This guy just jumped in my lap. Do you want to say hi real quick to the captain? There's the pup. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, he just jumped into my lap. This is if you're listening on the radio, this does nothing for you. But what I got in my lap right now is about the top three cutest things you'll ever see in your life. It's my little puppy golden retriever. Just tremendous. So there's.
You have a treat in your pocket or something?
He says kisses. Hi, everybody. Yeah, he does. He's just a love. Here comes Murray's update. Then we're back with if you can stomach it, Maz. If you want to do it, you want a Red Sox minute just to dump all over these frauds?
Oh, sure, I'm in.
Okay, that's coming up right after Big Jim Murray's update.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo! Boo.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Two balls and two strikes. And that'll do it. The Yankees continue their head-to-head dominance with Boston. They have beaten the Red Sox for a ninth straight time and for the 14th time in their last 15 meetings. The Yankees stay undefeated at home after a 4-2 victory in New York tonight.
Here comes the Red Sox Minute with Tony Maserati and Big Jim Murray previewing the baseball reporters tonight. I'm just going to turn it over to you, Maz.
Okay, no problem. So, again, there you go. They lose again. 6-16, I think it is now. A complete nosedive. We all know what it is with the Red Sox at the moment. You know what should make you the angriest?
What?
Is stuff like Saturday night. And a lot of people missed this, and I don't blame you if you did. So listen to this. Fifth inning, the Red Sox are down 2-1, and there's a runner on first base. They're on the field. The Red Sox are in defense. Ryan Brazier's on the mound. Down 2-1, two outs, runner on first base. The count goes full, 3-2. So when there's a 3-2 count with two outs and a runner on first, you know what happens?
What happens?
The runner goes on the pitch because there's no reason to stay. Something has to happen. It's one of the oldest things in baseball. So right before the pitch, Mitch Moreland, who had been holding the runner at first base, says to Ryan Brazier, just remember, I'm backing off now, 3-2. I got to play defense, so I'm not going to be on the bag. No problem. Moreland backs up. Guy gets in the box. Runner takes his lead. Brazier then spins to turn to pick off the guy at first base. Only Moreland's not there. So Brazier holds the ball.
Balk.
Runner goes to second. Next pitch is a bloop single to left field. Runner comes around and scores. Red Sox are down 3-1. They end up losing the game. But it's this type of just mentally, they're just, you talk about people who don't want to be there. The Red Sox don't want to be there. And obviously I'm playing off a Rask there. But Ron Renicki was then asked about it after the game. And I think this is in exchange with Peter Abraham of the Globe, but bear with me. And it went like this. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Ron, what happened on the that throw to first by Ryan there?
We told Mitch told him he was behind him, and Ryan forgot, so threw over to first.
What else?
That's awesome.
You've had some of these mental mistakes now for the last few days. As a manager, I guess what kind of steps do you take to try to eliminate those?
Well, it's obviously concerning. You don't like the mental mistakes. I mean, We can take getting beat, but we don't want to give it to teams. And you know, every time we do, they capitalize on it. So it's been errors that we even make an error, and all of a sudden they get a homer, or we'll just do things that are giving teams opportunities to score runs. So it's just you try to focus more, but I think that that's. I don't think that that's necessarily the issue, is the focus. It's, I don't know. It's just things are not going well.
Okay. First of all, it is the focus. Now look, the main issue is the absence of pitching. So I'm with Renicki on that one. But to say I don't think it's the focus, when a guy is turning to make a pickoff throw and there's nobody there, it's not the focus. And it's not the focus when Rafael Devers is on pace for 64 errors. 64. And Rafael Devers was a good player when Alex Cora was here, and he sucks now all the way around. And it's not an issue of focus when J.D. Martinez is waving at pitches in the game against Gerrit Cole and goes 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. J.D. Martinez, one of the best hitters in the game. So, like, I say this with tremendous respect for what Ron Renicki is in the middle of right now, because I don't think Ron Renicki's at fault. And I don't think this has anything to do with Ron Renicki. But if this type of thing were going on with a team at any other time, the manager would be fired. He'd be fired. Now look, again, I'm loathe to say this because I don't want to put it on Renicki and incite the people who just bash managers to no end, even though sometimes the manager deserves it. I'm just telling you, this team has checked out. They have checked out. Now, look, they were a little bit better last night. They lost 4-2, I think the final was. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. You didn't get your ass kicked. You just lost normally. Great. There's something to celebrate. But they have checked out in a big way.
And that's some
Victor
of the
Murray.
Yeah, some of the stats surrounding. Well, go ahead.
No. Well, I want to hear your stats. But can I just, would you say that they would need to then be better?
Oh, hashtag be better? Oh, yeah, no, the 2020 Red Sox definitely need to hashtag be better. How's that egg on your face, Tom? So some of this, look, I'm not watching. I don't know how many people are, but some of the stats surrounding this team, you see people tweeting about them. Our former intern, Tucker, Boston Sports Inf, they're incredible. They really are, and hilarious, because prior to last night, they allow 8 runs in 6 straight games for the first time in their 120-year history.
Yep.
And the suck isn't just about now either. This is the thing. It's sustainable suck going on with this team. You know what they are, what their record is in their last 162 games?
What is it?
81-81, 500. They suck. They suck. They're just meh. They're meh. A team that's 2 years removed from winning the World Series is just bleh. So it's an unwatchable product, and I'm happy to hear that they had a team meeting last night after their latest loss. And I'd like to think it went something like this: "Boy, we suck, huh? Let's eat." That's it, and that's how that meeting ends. Like, what's there to say? You're not going to turn things around. They're a disaster. The pitching is AAA at best, maybe AA. The guys that you would rely on, and the reason I thought that they might actually contend for a playoff spot, because their lineup should be so good with guys like J.D. Martinez and Xander Bogaerts, they're checked out. They don't even want to be there. Devers is a butcher in the field. I have seen some of those lowlights. They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible.
In every facet.
These games are over before they start.
No, I'm not kidding. They're bad at everything. They can't pitch. Their hitting's the biggest disappointment of the whole thing. That you thought they would hit. They're not. They were 12th in runs scored, I think, entering the weekend. So they're not hitting. Their pitching sucks. Their defense blows. They don't run the bases. And as you pointed out, Murray, 2 years ago, 2 years, they went 108-54. This year, they are on pace to go 44-118. In 2 years, you went from 108 wins, 108 win pace, to a 44 win pace in really less than 2 years, because this season's not over yet. Now, look, again, over 162, what does this team win? I don't know, but playing like this, 44 is in the running.
And I think Mookie Betts has had 4 home runs since Thursday night.
He had 3 on Friday.
Oh, they're a laughing stock. We're laughing at them.
It is. That's a good word. Laughing stock. That's exactly what they are.
Literally, we are laughing at you. So there's your Red Sox minute. We have covered everything today except for one little thing. Not so little thing. Oh, the Celtics start their playoff run tonight. Celtics, tonight. Okay, on sister station ROR, if you're watching on TV, on NBC Sports Boston. We'll give you a quick Celtics thought, and then your calls the rest of the way on everything. We did a bunch of Brady stuff, obviously the Bruins and Tuukka Rask, your Red Sox, how you enjoying them, and the Celtics all be mixed together. We'll get to the C's right after these words.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Okay, one more thing to get here on a re-entry Monday, and that's the Celtics. They open up their playoff run, we hope, tonight here against the Philadelphia 76ers. Catch the game on our sister station, WROR. Because the Bruins are on 98.5 The Sports Hub on the TV side. NBC Sports Boston has your game coverage tonight. Give me a Celtics take, Maz.
Okay, so here's where I am with the Celtics. And I've been bouncing around ESPN, the website, this morning. And they rattled off these statistics about things to watch for in the bubble. LeBron James, for example. The Lakers are +8 when he's on the floor, -2 when he's not. Okay, so they were sort of highlighting big six things to watch during the playoffs. And you know what one of them was?
What?
Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum. And I happen to agree. People have been shoving Jason Tatum down my throat. And certainly people like Scottie Pippen think he's ready to be a superstar player in the league and lead a team on a title run. A run. Even if it's not a championship yet, a run. And you know what? This is when you find out. You find out now, when the playoffs hit, just how good a guy really is and whether or not he can carry a team on his shoulders. So to me, and look, the team goals are obvious, but one of the things you should really pay attention to is how good is Tatum really when they start playing the best teams? And I'm not sure Philadelphia qualifies. Without Simmons, the Celtics should win this series and they should win it relatively easily. I think the odds in Vegas have the Celtics instilled as massive favorites in this series. Like, not even going past 5 games. Okay, so I don't want to hear it in this round, but the overall, postseason, as it develops and goes on, and you have to face a Miami or whoever, and then a Toronto or a Milwaukee eventually. If Tatum is the player everyone thinks he is right now, then we'll see it in the postseason. I think this postseason is huge for Tatum. Yeah, huge.
He's got tremendous upside, and he can prove himself to be one of the top 10 players in the league if he shows out the way that I think he can. But going into this thing, I still think the best player in the series is Joel Embiid. And I know you think he's a dog and he has that kind of trait in him. He'll sometimes just give up. But when he tries, and he has certainly tried against the Celtics this year, again, regular season 3-1 against Boston, they don't have an answer for him at all. And that's even if Robert Williams now finds himself into the rotation in this series. They just don't. But he's not enough for Philadelphia. And I'm with Jimmy. I think he tweeted a little while ago, if I could pick the Celtics in 3, I would.
So, right. The only take I can come up with really is that don't lose. Though they better not lose. You can't lose to this team. You're better than this team. And Philly's a mess. And okay. But I'll give you a bigger one. I think the chances of them reaching the finals are better this year than it might be in the next couple. And that's given, even if Jason Tatum makes a big move or Jaylen Brown makes a big move. I just look at the landscape. Remember, next year, it's Durant and Kyrie. And say what you will about Kyrie, but if he's engaged and he believes in Durant and they've got a real shot, I don't know. Maz, I ask you right now, a fully healthy, loaded Nets with Durant and Kyrie or the current Celtics? Who do you got?
Nets.
So Durant's back next year. Watch Giannis in Milwaukee. If they come up short this year, they either load up for one run with Giannis to get him to stay, and they make a big sort of move to augment him, or they bail, the Bucks do, and they trade him, and the landing spot that is rumored most is Miami. So I think Giannis with Jimmy Butler and that group down there, that's a better combination. That's a better group than what's in Milwaukee right now. So this is all a long way of saying that the East could be much better. It's definitely going to be better next year with Durant back. Like, that's a given. Forget about it. And next year, I think, but who knows? You know, we'll be back to home games, road trips, road playoff games, fans in the stands, the whole thing. Right now, you're the 3 seed, and you have no road trips and no home court disadvantage. Huge. You have no Durant. And Giannis and Milwaukee look clunky right now. They don't look like they're primed. This is it. The door's ajar. Like, this is your chance. So I would say maybe in the next couple of years, this might be your best road to the finals. Take advantage of it.
You mean you don't believe that Robert Williams is going to be a force next year?
I mean, he might, but I know that Durant's going to be back, and DeAndre Jordan's going to be back for them, and that whole squad's going to look different than they are now. So that I do know.
I'll tell you, there is an opening there for them. There's no question there's an opening. And, you know, I would even say with regard to the West a little bit, the Lakers...
don't look right.
Now, look, it can change with the playoffs, and LeBron's a force. So do I expect the Celtics to beat the Lakers in a series? I don't know. But I give them, the one team that I think I would absolutely say out of the West that I would say the Celtics aren't going to beat is the Clippers. I think the Clippers are better, and in the games that they played against the Celtics, when the Clippers wanted to just turn it on, the Celtics couldn't handle it. And so I think the Clippers are better. I think the Clippers are the best team in the league, period. So I don't know that they're quite ready for that yet, but the East, there's no question. Simmons going down helps, makes the road easier. No home games for anybody. Like, absolutely, the door is ajar. There's no question.
And if you lose to anyone other than Milwaukee, it's an underachievement. You failed. It's an underachievement by the coach, the players, the whole kit and caboodle. You have no excuse losing to this Philly team. And I'm sorry, you should be better than Toronto. You have better players and the best player in the series. So no excuse, and you have no road games.
If it's a tough series, it's 7 games, Toronto and Miami, I could live with that. Those are good teams.
Oh, no, you should be ahead of those teams.
I think they should beat both of those teams, too, right
now.
You
should be ahead of them. You should be ahead of those teams.
They'll have to fight for it, Murray. I'm not telling you it'd be easy, but they have more talent than those teams, high-end talent.
Look, if those teams play better and earn it, they earn it, but then that's still a statement on you. That means you're not getting the most out of your talent, the coach isn't, or collectively they're not getting enough out of their talent, or they gagged, or they didn't play the right way. You have far more good players than Miami, and the best player, and maybe the best player. If you were drafting you in Miami, it would go Tatum, Butler, right? You wouldn't put anyone on the Celtics ahead of Jimmy Butler other than Tatum?
I would take Tatum first, yep.
Yeah, who would you take second?
Probably Butler.
Yeah, so
yeah, probably Butler. And look, again, I said this earlier. I think it's another thing to watch. From the team perspective, with the Celtics, pay attention to how Hayward's playing. I mean, I think Hayward is a huge swing player for them. If Hayward's playing at the top of his game, I think you know what you're generally going to get out of Tatum and Brown. I mean, we're talking about third and fourth year players in the league who are developing right before our eyes, and they're going to have bad nights. Tatum's probably going to have a 2-for-15 in there somewhere. I mean, he had one in the play-in round, but the extension of the regular season. He had an absolute dog of a game in there. But, you understand what the talent is and you understand the process. Hayward, to me, is the swing guy for this postseason. Their success, their success will depend on how Hayward plays.
What'd you say? When's he supposed to leave?
Exactly.
Middle of September.
Okay. That's tough. That's like conference finals, isn't it? Or... I can't even time it out. I'm not even sure. That might be conference finals time, and no one blames him there. That is circumstance. Truly, the Rask thing, debatable, and we're debating it. And Bruins fans everywhere are debating it. So that's really the lead story. The Bruins without Tuukka Rask, are they about to go on a run? Are they better off without Tuukka Rask? Do you blame Tuukka Rask for bailing out of the play-in, the return to play in there in Toronto? That's a lead story. We started the day with Brady talking down in Tampa and the Patriots quarterbacks getting on the field. I may have to take back some of the stuff I ranted about in the first hour, which is okay. Still got it off my chest, still got me going on a Monday. But there is some reporting on who played where and how they played on the field there with the Patriots. We'll give you that next hour. That's on the table. We gave you a Red Sox minute. We gave you a Celtics minute. What else do you want? To your calls, I promise. 90 seconds, no commercials, then to you at 617-779-0985.